Hi, I'm Thesia Ellis, and welcome to This Grandma's Life podcast. And I guess I just got to thinking about it. I probably better come up with some sort of logo, not a logo, but some sort of cool thing to say about that and why I'm doing This Grandma's Life podcast. All right, I still have not been able to take the time to determine how to get this on the regular podcast streaming, so you're just going to have to look at me with my glare. The glare on my glasses, I swear, sometimes I put, when I'm doing, when I turn it on, do podcasts and turn the camera on, there's a setting you can do and it takes my glare right down. And then other times, once I turn on my computer on, it reverts back to the other way and I can't get the glare off my glasses. So, yeah, evil grandma again. Okay, this Grandma's Life podcast episode 8, and what gets you out of bed in the morning? And this is December 1, 2022. Oh my goodness, it's already the 1st of December. Wow. You know, and I was looking and I'm always saying that I've got stuff going on and stuff. I do a lot of video recording of stuff around the podcast, but the homestead and I record Kinsey's basketball games and softball games and whatever she's doing, my granddaughter. But I was looking, I am 6 videos behind in getting those edited and put out. So I'm really trying to get things done and get those out there. So have patience with me, guys. I will do what I can to get them out there as soon as I can, because it's kind of a bummer because I do, you know, some of everything has a time on it. You know, it's December 1st. Well, by the time the video that I was working on today comes out, it might be December 15th. And you're going to go, what? What is that? Okay. So, yeah, there's time and I'm messing them all up. My quote of the day is, we must suffer from one of two pains in life, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. The difference is discipline weighs ounces while the pain of regret weighs tons. Unknown. I couldn't find who the author of this is. I don't even know where I got this particular quote, but it kind of struck home with me, particularly with whenever I'm saying what gets you out of bed in the morning. You know, if you want to lay in bed, if you have the option of laying in bed in the mornings, you know, what if you think about this quote, are you going to regret not getting up? Like this morning, I was wanting to sleep in a little bit. Even if I sleep in half an hour, it gets me behind on my schedule. Now, I'm not even employed, but I'm very busy. And so getting up, you know, trying to get that extra 30 minutes of sleep really does put me behind for the day. So, you know, think about it. Here's a quote again. We must suffer from one of two pains in life, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. The difference is the discipline weighs ounces while the pain of regret weighs tons. Unknown. So that kind of strikes home for us. Now, the product of the day, I have been part of, I think it's called a mastermind group. It's with Ken Esch, and he started a thing called Level Up. And what we're doing, there's a couple of us or a few of us that are getting together once or twice a month. For the month of November, he had us listening to The Strangest Secret. I think it's by Earl Nightingale. So we were listening to it every morning, which is kind of cool because when you listen, and it was only like 40 minutes long, this particular recording. And you listen to it every day. And some days you go, yeah, yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. And other days you go, wait, that has never made it into my brain before. So it's kind of cool when you do something like that, you listen to something every day, you get more information out of it. With the whole process of this is Level Up. This is like a mastermind group. He gives us things like one of the things that we were filling out the goal part of what gets us going in for the greatest secret. It gave us a kind of workbook to go through, but also in the greatest secret, there was another one. Oh yeah. Another thing, not the greatest secret, but Ken Esch was talking about another guy and, the 48 days, goal setting thing. So I've been trying to work my way through that. And even while I was listening to the Earl Nightingale book, another book was mentioned, and I just started listening to it, but it takes 3 hours to get through it. So I'm not going to do that like a daily thing. I think that was Wake Up and Live. And so I've been listening to podcasts all the time, but now I'm listening to some specific audiobooks and filling out these worksheets and basically trying to gel what do you want? What do you want in life? Not just skating through, not just kind of sliding on through life and hoping things work out your way. I'm trying to get everything with a purpose and put it in forefront of your brain and stuff. So this level up group that Ken has started has been already very helpful, even though we're just getting started in it. And if you want to be part of that, if you want to start changing your life so that you can start doing you taking more in control of your own success, and it does boil down to that. What's between your ears is what makes a difference of whether you succeed or not. And then along with you, once you get the thought processes in your brain right, all the physical part of it kind of falls into place. You still have to work. You still got to get the work done. But getting it right in your head makes a huge difference. So it's called Level Up. And his email is ken@constructiveliberty.com. I think he's in the process of getting a whole website set up for that and a whole system set up, and I like it. This is something he's just starting, so that's kind of cool. And the smaller group, we're able to discuss a lot of things and do things and just kind of put our heads together and get our week set. So I like that. Level Up. And he can be reached at ken@constructiveliberty.com. Send him an email and tell him that you're interested in doing this. All right. Farm happenings. Actually, I have a bunch of stuff written down here. I can't remember if I told you last time that we did get the pigs put together. I've got Oscar Mayer in with Daisy and Waddles. And At first, I was a little bit concerned because I was wondering if Waddles was pregnant. But if she's pregnant, I don't think she is. We thought that she was going to have if she was pregnant, she would have to deliver by December 6th. Because when I did the math of before Jimmy Dean died, that's basically the latest. Well, she's not pregnant. If she is, we'll be very surprised. But I did put the pigs all together. I'm still not seeing any breeding activity. I mean, every once in a while I see Oscar kind of showing interest, but the girls are just not interested in him. But we'll keep working. At least they're getting along. They're all climbing into the A-frame hut together, sleeping together, and moving around the ground together. And so at least they are a cohesive unit that are not. I mean, when you put food out, it makes a little bit of difference. But they do pretty good. I'm really grateful that they're doing well. We think. I did combine my birds. I had ordered some pullets several weeks ago, and about the same time, I had hatched a bunch of birds. So I've got three or four little cockerels. They're all just now getting old enough. Every once in a while you hear a funky little crow, and so I've got a bunch of birds that are big enough now to fend for themselves. Now, so a couple weeks ago. I took my chicken tractor, the John Suskovich style chicken tractor, and I pulled it into the middle of where we have electric net fencing, where I keep my adult ducks and chickens and stuff. And so I was hoping that if I had the chicken tractor in the midst of them with the fence between them, or, you know, the chicken tractor itself protecting the birds, that they could kind of get to know each other through the fence. And then everything would be okay. And I have seen some evidence of like a couple of birds kind of bowing up to each other. But actually, yesterday I left the door open to the chicken tractor and everybody's coming and going as they please. They are doing the pecking order, but it's actually not been too bad. And I'm really grateful for that. Now what I need to do is I need to start training all of them to go into the big mobile egg unit after dark, which means I got to go out there after dark. And you know, it gets dark early, so you ought to be able to do it. Yeah, that's true. But we've had a lot going on, and I have not gotten out there. And what I think I'm going to do too is I need to do a count of how many actual chicken hens I'm going to have, and do a count of roosters and the young roosters. I'm going to put them back in the chicken tractor, get them out of the electric net fencing, and then somewhere down the road, I'll just get them processed. I don't want to have a whole, but that will create a whole mess of problems when you got too many roosters. So that's my next plan. I don't know when I'm going to get it done, but I will get it done at some point. But right now, everybody's in there. They're working out their pecking order, and it's been pretty mellow so far. So that's working out pretty good too. I don't know how many of you listen to Jack Spirico, and of course, all the other people who listen with him too. A few weeks ago, well, it's been months that they started talking about the breast chicken. You know, there's the French breast, B-R-E-S-S-E, and it's supposed to be basically a meat bird that you can get some eggs from too. I mean, it's not, most of us who are homesteaders know that you either have an egg-laying bird or you have a meat bird. And we were, most of us, even as old as I am, were raised on Cornish crosses. Those birds are bred specifically to live about 8 weeks and be processed, and you can't get true to type breeding on the homestead level. So several of us were hoping to find a breed that gets to a good size. You know, there are several birds that you can get that do get to a pretty decent size, but not at the same level of course, even the breasts. I don't think they're going to be able getting to the same level as the Cornish cross. Because the Cornish cross, believe it or not, I mean, like Justin Rhodes, he calls them sea monsters, sea with the, you know, the letter C monsters, because they are bred to be eating machines and with huge breasts and lots of meat on them. And no matter how you look at it, there are no other chicken out there that's built like them. But this American breast that is a derivative of the French breast, excuse me. They're supposed to have pretty good meat. In fact, it's kind of funny if you read about them for the French breast. I guess the last few weeks they feed these chickens milk and corn, and their meat actually develops some marbling, and it's supposed to be pretty good. They're a white chicken. The ones I got were white chickens. They have a bright red comb, and as they get older, they're going to have blue legs. So it's red, white, and blue. Apparently, that's a French flags colors too, just like the United States. So I got 10 chicks in Wednesday, yesterday, and yeah, I got them. I ordered them in July, so I was hoping to get them earlier, because I'll be perfectly honest, December, late November, early December is not the time to be getting chicks. But you know, when you order them in July, and a whole bunch of people kind of basically inundated any hatcheries that they could find to get these breast chickens, basically because Jack Spirico says, hey, this sounds like a good idea. And all the rest of us go, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So let's try it. And so these hatcheries have been scrambling to try to get some orders out. So when I ordered in July, yesterday was the earliest they can get them to me, and they arrived really healthy and happy. They had put hand warmers, the kind that you know what I'm talking about, the little hand warmer packets. There were three of them inside the box, and they were nice and healthy and happy when they arrived. Now, I put them in the brooder, and they were doing real good for several hours. If I watched them, they were staying warm, doing good. And then I went back a couple hours later, and two of them were dead because apparently they had gotten in the water. And I was so heartbroken. I was so discouraged because these, for a couple reasons, these are supposed to be a complete flock that I'm supposed to be building with these 10 little chicks. And two of them get it. I mean, it's just a little water, you know, the kind that you get for a brooder water, where they got in the little bitty trough in there and got wet and got cold and they died. So now I'm down to 8, and I'm hoping they take care of themselves a little bit better. So, but the ones I've checked on them recently, and they seem to be doing good. In fact, it was funny because I had them in the house, but yeah, gum, they were noisy. And I thought, man, we won't be able to sleep if we have them in the house. So I set them up out in the barn, and of course with a heat lamp, and then I've got a brooder that they're in, and I've got board on top of the brooder so that there's no warm air, you know, wafting up and escaping there. It's pretty enclosed. it's not completely enclosed, but it's pretty enclosed where the heat will stay in, and they seem to be doing good, even though it got down to like 21 degrees last night, and that barn is not heated. So I believe they're doing pretty good. Well, they were last time I checked. So, yep, I've got breast chicks. I'm going to see if I can have my own closed flock of meat birds and see how that goes. Well, I will keep you posted. Tom got a deer earlier this week. He took the week off and to go deer hunting. He got himself a nice little 8-pointer. The only thing, he's kind of bummed because, you know, I don't know what your laws are in other parts of the country, but here in Oklahoma, basically, once you get a buck, you're done. And you can do does and you can do antlerless and stuff like that. So he got a nice 8-pointer. We've been processing it, and, you know, we've got the backstrap cut up into nice little medallions, and he got a couple of roasts out of it, and now we're grounding most of the rest of it. Oh, no, we do the shanks, too. We started good doing the shanks because I found a way. Well, Jack Spearco again set up a good way where you can make really good fall-off-the-bone deer shanks, and those are good. And so got that breaking down. I think we still need to grind it because it's been on ice for a day or two, and we're just letting it go through rigor mortis and everything getting good, you know. So we're in the process of getting it broken down and cleaned up and ground up and put away. So he got a deer. I'm glad, but he's still out there trying to get a doe now. Well, that's not working out for him very good because he saw a big 10-point buck come across tonight. He goes, I keep seeing nice bucks come through and after I get that 8-pointer. Of course, in Oklahoma, you've got the one buck, and then you got to go with the antlerless or the does. So, yeah, kind of feel sorry for him, but at the same time, I'm really glad to have that meat in the freezer. Okay, gearing up for the Christmas activities. You know, several things with comes to Christmas. I have mixed emotions about the season. When I lived in California and I had to move back, everything that I owned that didn't fit in the car with my two boys did not make it from California. I have beautiful Christmas ornaments, like individually given to me for gifts, Christmas ornaments to put on the tree. So everything was either made or specially bought, and they were all beautiful and they didn't make it. And I have to admit, that was 1994. And even to this day, my heart is broken that I don't have those special gifts, the Christmas ornaments and stuff. I mean, the pain is diminishing, I guess, over the years, but I just don't decorate. So I was really grateful that Kinsey decorated this year, and she's done a beautiful job. I'm really grateful that she's done that. She and Tom put up the tree. Kinsey did a wonderful job on the front porch. It just looks beautiful. But at the same time, all the other activities that go with it, I'm having a good time with it. I get to be the narrator. So most of this up is up at the church, you know, so I get to be the narrator for the kids program. And I enjoy doing that, but I'm also kind of rewriting the script because it needed some tweaking, and we were kind of making notes on top of notes on top of notes, and it was getting confusing. So I'm retyping the whole thing, trying to make it up as more of a regular script so that it's more easily followed and read. And then after that, I'm going to do like a PowerPoint type thing so that we can put it up on the screen. So you know how kids are learning their lines. So we're going to try to put it up on the screen so that they can read it, if nothing else. And then we also have a little bit of organization and know what to do next. I was trying to remember what the word is I want for that. So there's a couple more things I got to do for that. But I'm also part of the program. We're doing kind of I guess you call it vignette. So we're doing different parts of the Bible. And I get to be the woman that goes to Jesus to have her daughter be freed from bad spirits. And so but there are several little vignettes too. So it's kind of like we do a little vignette and then we sing a song and then somebody else does a vignette. We're going to sing another song and stuff. So we're doing play practice with that. And I'm enjoying that. I was hoping that we could do a float for the parade. Our little town's going to have their first annual Christmas parade, and I really wanted for us to do a float. And I guess insurance is going to say, well, it's not lit well enough, and we don't want kids on the float on the back of a trailer and falling off, because you know, people die every year falling off of a trailer and getting ran over. It's like, oh, so if we can't do a float, I said, okay, can we get a sheet and put it over a pole and write Friendly Foyle Baptist Church and walk down the, I mean, it's only going to be, it's just a little over half a mile, I think, something like that. It's not a big long route. It's a little town. It's not lit. There's no parking. We're just going to go down the road. I don't know. I'm a little frustrated with that because I was really excited. I wanted to do a float. I mean, we were going to get our trailer and decorate it up. And I was hoping somebody with a better looking truck would pull it. But I guess right now it's looking like we're not going to get to do that because of insurance. But I'm hoping we can still do the parade anyway. But also at the same time, they're going to be doing some other things on that particular day. The parade's not going to be until about 6 o'clock that night, which is mean, okay, the sun's already going to be down. So that, yeah, that could be an issue. But during the daytime, they're going to have vendors and jumping houses and stuff for the kids. I can't remember what else they do. So I think I'm going to be a vendor for that too. I'm going to sell some of my candles. I need to pour some more up. And then I'm also going to get to sell some of that Healthy Heifer skincare that my friend does. Oh, I just love her stuff, and it's tallow based, and I really like it, especially for my eczema, and it's been really great during the winter time here. But I've got an agreement with her, so I can sell some of her stuff there, and I'll have a booth, and hopefully we'll get to be in the parade. We'll have to see. So things are gearing up for Christmas. Kenzie got the Christmas tree up, and I actually bought a couple. I'm not even good at buying gifts for people, but I've already had in advance bought a couple of gifts for her, and I've got another one coming for Tom. So, and I got to get them wrapped and put them underneath the tree. So I'm gearing up. It's gonna be cool. We are in the middle of basketball season. Oh, that's kind of fun. But I love basketball. I love the sport of basketball. I love watching Kenzie play sports. But that she is such a tiny little thing. In fact, I got to check on things while I go. I put something on TikTok and on Instagram. It's so funny. My poor little tiny granddaughter. There was this girl on this other team. She was large, over 6 foot tall. Ah, maybe 350 pounds. I don't know. She's a big girl. And Kinsey, for some reason, thought that she could dribble through that girl and end up bouncing off. And I got it on film, and I put it on TikTok, and I put it on Instagram today. And every time I think about it, obviously he could tell that I'm getting tickled because it's funny. She didn't get hurt, thank God. But boy, I tell you what, she is such a little thing. Every time something happens, I'm always worried that she's going to be hurt because it wouldn't take much to just knock her flat. And of course, we're driving all over all these little bitty podunk towns. Like one town we go to for softball and for basketball, it's called Blue Jacket. I'm not exactly sure. I need to look up the history of Blue Jacket. But we got a tournament next week in Copan, South Coffeyville. Oh, another little place we went to called Oaks is Oaks Mission. I think it's a I'm pretty sure that that is a Native American territory, what you call them, for the tribes and stuff. And so, yeah, these are little bitty towns. Like, oh my goodness, on the basketball we played the other night, Blue Jacket. I think we've got a total of about 10 people on our team, maybe 12, the girls. And the others, I think they had 8 or 9 players on their team. Their boys had 5 players. That was the entire team for Blue Jacket. And go, whoa, that's nobody get hurt, nobody foul out, I guess. I don't know. But they had just enough to not have to forfeit the game. But that's how little these towns are. So we are doing the basketball season. We've got another game tomorrow night. I'm going to Chelsea. That's not very far, though. It's only about 20 minutes. It's probably not even 20 minutes up the road, maybe 15. So that'll be nice because like the one in Oaks, it was like nearly an hour and a half away. So, yep, Chelsea be almost in our backyard, so that'll be good. That bathroom remodel, oh my goodness, I had no idea it was going to take us this long. I say us. Well, I mean, Tom helped me a little bit yesterday. Essentially, he goes to work, and so I'm trying to figure all this stuff out by myself. But I finally got the actual shower stall itself out. and I've got most of the wall panels out. And yesterday, Tom helped me start actually taking out the 2x4 studs for a couple of parts of the wall. And I was glad he was here because I was thinking a whole nother wall was going to have to come out too. But I got to looking, the subflooring has to be replaced. Just by the time I'm thinking, oh, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? I should just put it back together and forget it. But there are two pieces of subflooring that are very rotted, very rotted. One of them, where the toilet sits, it's got a piece of plywood on top of it so you can sit on the toilet without falling through it falling through the floor. And right in front of the shower stall, there's some pretty soft spots too. So there's literally two places of subflooring that's going to have to be pulled up and replaced. So it's like, okay, I'm dedicated. We're getting it out now. So, but we made some progress. I'm still working on the demolition part of it, but I'm not like doing slam hammer, slamming, tearing everything up. I'm dismantling it piece by piece and learning as I go. And it's working out. It's just taking way longer than I thought it would. My next segment is my three things. You know, I talk about this, and this is really cool. We do the my three things on Nicole Sauce is my three things. I think her thing is hashtag MY, the number three things, THINGS. And so when I'm on MeWe, because I'm on her, I got the idea from her, but the concept is the same. When I'm on MeWe, it's hers, my three things with the number three, but I didn't remember that when I was doing it on Facebook and I spill all of it out. So my three things for today was like on Thursdays. Menu for the week and order groceries. Yeah. Now I'm not like Nicole Sauce. I don't order groceries for 6 months at a time. Now I will, what I buy, especially on staples, will probably last at least that long. But in general, I buy groceries weekly. I've got teenagers. I've got a husband. I got all kinds of different things going on, you know, some things for soups. I got some things I got to do, crock pots and other things. Like tonight we had Chinese food that I made. I cook and it's not during an active part of basketball season or active part of softball season, but basically I cook 6 days a week. And so we have nice leftovers on Sunday because I refuse to cook on Sunday. So I need to order groceries once a week. And so I order on Thursday, I make my menu for the next week, and then I order the groceries to accommodate it. And I think, and I was doing it every 2 weeks, but now I'm doing it only once a week because I'll tell you what, the grocery bill is a little easier for me to stomach if I can actually order, spend half as much a week at a time instead of like, golly, if you do it every 2 weeks, it's just amazing. And we have a lot of our own meat. That's what's kind of making me crazy. It's not even like I'm buying a bunch of meat or anything. This is just stuff that I'm buying. I mean, you know, the girls, they do junk food. And so, you know, that's going to be expensive. But my goodness, the price of groceries. You know, I don't care what any of the politicians say. And I don't even care what the statistics say. They say, inflation's up 8%. It's like, yeah, it meant like 8% per month add to it. I know my grocery bill has at least doubled, and at one point it had tripled. So I don't care what they say. It's not 8%. It's a lot higher than that. So the first thing was get my menu for the week and order groceries. And the second thing was video work. Oh my goodness, I'm trying to get some video work done. Like I was saying earlier, I'm like five videos behind. But I'm also video Kinsey's basketball games, and I go back and catalog those and get them set up, and I archive them and everything too, and highlight what I want in there for Kinsey. Well, you know, basketball games take about an hour and stuff, and going through the footage, oh my goodness, it might take me 2 or 3 hours to do that. But and then along with trying to get things done for not just this podcast but for Grandma's Homestead video YouTube channel, and occasionally something from Farm Animal Life. That reminds me, I need to put a camera in with my little breast chicks and get some footage of them. And the third thing today is this podcast. And so far, well, actually not more than just so far. I got the menu done. I've got a lot of video work done today, and I'm doing the podcast. So I think I'm doing good. what I'm reading. Okay. You know, I told you when I first started this thing, some of the stuff I was going to be reading to you was going to be like a little bit controversial. I'm sorry. I love some of this stuff. I love to read. I love to read my novels. I learn a lot from novels, and I read good for me books and stuff too. I've got a couple of them that's lined up. Once I finish wading my way through the Dr. Anthony Fauci, the real Dr. Anthony Fauci, something like that, that's been a long read, but I'm still wading my way through that. But this one that I'm reading now, and the excerpt that I'm, this is from Dan Brown. Dan Brown, from his book Origin. I was trying to remember what the copyright was. It's 2017, so it's actually not that old. So I want to read you a couple of excerpts from it. I think three of them I have lined up to read to you. The first one is on page 9, and it's, "The old man smiled as the strong wind continued to billow his robe. Well, the meek were supposed to inherit the earth, but instead it has gone to the young, the technically inclined, those who stare into the video screens, rather into their own souls." That one struck me because, you know, if you think about how many people, even when you go to a restaurant, they're staring at their video screens. In fact, it makes me a little bit crazy. I'm going to get off topic a little bit here. I hate going to a restaurant or any place in that matter, and somebody like pulls up and a video and they've got the speaker going loud and everybody has to hear what they're listening to. That just aggravates me, along with whenever you're doing, if you're having a phone conversation on speaker in the middle of a place too. So that's my 2 cents worth right there. Okay. So this one starts on page 21. And this is another quote. It says, "Well, science and religion are not competitors. They're two different languages trying to tell the same story. There's room in this world for both." I love that. I really do. I hope I don't really aggravate the crap out of you. I do believe in creationism. I do believe that God created it, but I don't want to put God in a box that indicates that we were not able to adapt and change and evolve as our world around us evolves. So I think there is a combination, just like this one says, we're not competitors. We're all together. God created the science too. He created it where we can study all this stuff and we can see where it was created. We can see where it's evolved. And believing that something is creative should not cancel out the fact that things evolve to adapt to their part of their world. So I just thought that quote was pretty good too. All right, this is going to be a little bit longer, but I thought it was kind of interesting. Like the infinite hallway. I had never heard of this concept before, okay? What he's saying on an infinite hallway is, imagine yourself walking down a long hallway, a corridor that's so long that it's impossible to see where you're coming from or where you're going. Then behind you in the distance, you hear the sound of a bouncing ball. Sure enough, when you turn, you see a ball bouncing toward you. It's bouncing closer and closer until finally it bounces past you and just keeps on going, bouncing into the distance and out of sight. So the question is not, is the ball bouncing? Because clearly the ball is bouncing. We can observe it. The question is, why is it bouncing? How did it start bouncing? Did someone kick it? Is it a special ball that simply enjoys bouncing? Are the laws of physics in this hallway such that the ball has no choice but to bounce forever? So this is from somebody named Gould, G-O-U-L-D. He says, so Gould's point being is that just as with evolution, we cannot see far enough into the past to know how the process began. All we can do is observe what is happening. This was similar, of course, to the challenge of understanding the Big Bang theory. Cosmologists have devised elegant formulas to describe the expanding universe for any given time, T, in the past for the future. However, when they try to look back to the distant, to the instant when the Big Bang occurred, there, where T equals zero, the mathematics all goes mad, describing what seems to be a mystical speck of infinite heat and infinite density. And so I thought that was interesting. And there's more here, but I'm not going to do that for today. Talking about panspermia, we maybe cover that one next time. But I thought that was cool. So, like I said, I personally feel that creationism and evolution go hand in hand. Like it's, he says in here, that it's just God's way of, and they're not in competition. They go together. So I'm enjoying that. All right. Let's go to the main part of this. What is on my mind? What gets you out of bed in the morning? What's kind of gotten me thinking about this is I have two friends that have lost their husbands in the last year or so. And they're both struggling because they were married to their husbands for a very long time. They love their husbands very much. And they're feeling deep losses in their souls from these deaths. But one of them, she has a job. So basically, whether she feels like it or not, she gets up out of bed every morning and she goes to work to her job. And the other one is right now at loose end. She's having trouble sleeping. She's having trouble getting out of bed. She's having trouble just functioning. And I don't know what to do to help her except to pray for her or something, you know. But I got to thinking about how all of us go through every day. Even like this morning, I slept in a little bit. And every once in a while, I'm tired when I wake up in the morning. But I immediately think of, oh, I need to do this, this, and this. I'm excited about my life right now. I love my life. I know that I have a mess of videos that I've got to get edited and published. I know that I have a mess of things I've got to get done. I've got animals waiting on me. I've got kids that need rides to school. And, you know, I don't have a job. I don't have a paying job, but I am very, very busy. And I just don't want to stay in bed. I want to get up and start editing the videos. I want to get up and record the weather for the day and go out and check on all my animals. I love what I'm doing. So that's what gets me out of bed every morning. And so I feel like I have a purpose. Oh, it looks like I need to try to ban some people here. Block user, Sex 69. Yep, Sex 69 is fine. It was blocked. that's just crazy. So that's enough to mess up your brain and lose your train of thought, especially when you're getting older. I've been having trouble maintaining a train of thought anyway. I'm used to being home by myself all day long, and Tom has been home, and I'll be like really focused and trying to concentrate on editing a video, or I'm trying to do something. He comes and asks me a question. I'm going, what? What? Wait, why are you talking to me? Okay, just a minute. All right, now what? So yeah, I get real focused, and apparently I do better when I'm by myself and getting focused. Okay. One of the things, I can't remember where I got this thought from, because I just made the note, but it says people with a purpose-driven life live longer. Now, do you want to live longer? I happen to know a couple of people who just don't want to live longer. And so therefore there's no desire for them to have purpose. And they're just going to skate through life until they die and take care of themselves so poorly that it's going to be a long, slow death though. But those who have a purpose in life, who have that reason to get out of bed, generally live longer. They take care of themselves. They have a bounce in their step. They have things to do, and they're going to live longer, you know, barring something that happens. But it's in general, people who have a purpose, with a purpose driven life, live longer. And that kind of goes on to some of the stuff I've been learning with the Ken Esch's thing we were talking about. I was struggling a few weeks ago with setting goals, because if you think about it, we all got kind of goals. Okay, we want to do this, we want to do that. I want to have a house. I want to build a property. I want to learn how to remodel a house. I'm trying to learn. I want to have, you know, be healthy, happy, and wise, and all that other stuff. But what is your goal? And he said, and I believe I've stated this on this before, think of it as a goal pyramid, and at the very peak of your pyramid is the one overarching goal that will get you where you want to go. And when Susie said that, I thought, okay, yeah, that's cool, because it kind of clicked for me. So every other thing below the pyramid, or toward the foundation of the pyramid, is all your little goals that need to be part of that pyramid. If you have a goal that does not fit into the framework of the goal, of the one overarching goal, then you need to reassess either what your one overarching goal is or what you really want that one other goal to do. Because if you have goals that detract you from the one overarching goal, it's going to scatter scatter your thoughts. It's going to scatter what you're doing, what you're thinking, and you're going to have more difficulty getting to that goal. So you can still have several goals. Just make sure that all these other goals will be part of your pyramid that gets you to the one major goal that you want. And honestly, as soon as he said that, it kind of clicked for me. But then I ran into another thing, and I sent him a message on that one too, saying, okay, yeah, but what about the steps? And he said that we're going to start studying that too. So, okay, now you've got your goal. You've got your one overarching goal. You've got the rest of your pyramid with all your other little goals that help you get to that. What's your first step? What is the next step? And I think, and those always change if you think about it. And I've learned that firsthand by dismantling this bathroom piece by piece. I looked it over. What is the first layer of this bathroom demolition that I needed to do? And then once I got that done, I would have sit and look and observe and go, oh, here's the next step. You know, once I took off all the paneling, and once we took off the electric wires from that, and dismantling the shower stall itself piece by piece, and then coming down to the floor and to the bare studs and stuff. It's just been a layer by layer thing. But it's also, what's the next step? When I got the surround of the shower off, I could actually see where the screws were that pinned the shower stall bottom to secured it into place. So that's been interesting for me to learn how to follow to discover the next step. And so I'm looking forward to when we discuss it with our next mastermind meeting is thinking about how to do the next step. But I think I'm getting a grasp of it ahead of time. I'm hoping so. Let me get a drink of water real quick. I'm going to do a lot. This is going long tonight. Okay, my stories of the day. At first, I had a little bit of trouble thinking about this, but I came up with a couple of them. One of them is, I was at the gym today. I love going to the gym. I don't like going like on the treadmill and doing my weightlifting and stuff like that. I love the classes. The classes are difficult, or I mean, if you want them to be. And I get a little bit enthusiastic with pretty much everything I do, as you can well imagine. So we're doing a really cool class yesterday, and other people, and they're probably being smart because they're smaller than I am. But they're probably doing 10 to 15 pound weights on these with these bars and with dumbbells. And we're doing some pretty wicked things with them. But no, I'm doing 30 pounds and I'm hosting things around. And that 30 pounds for most of you who work on a farm doesn't accept. But I guarantee you, if you were doing the exercises we were doing with it, the 30 pound bar was heavy. So you're really getting into it. And I had said, and there was a new girl in the class, and everybody else there knows me. They know that I'm a little bit enthusiastic and go way too heavy. And sometimes I back down. I won't lie. But the class was over and I was going, whoo, that was a good workout. I'm all wobbly. But I said, but you know me, I'm going to give it all I've got. And that woman walked by. She goes, yeah, you look like that type. I'm like, oh, it doesn't take them long to figure me out. So I don't know. I do love the classes. I don't, you know, I wish sometimes that the results showed on videos and stuff better, but you know what? Even if it doesn't show, you got to know this old lady's powerfully strong and can handle herself. Another story that I had come to think about, and I believe I posted on Facebook a few weeks ago when we were trying to catch birds to go on to go to the process. I was doing that last roundup of the season, getting rid of extra drake or two, getting rid of an extra rooster, and 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 I had a couple of extra tom turkeys that needed to go, just making sure I didn't have too many males going through the winter and into next spring. And that freaking rooster got loose. And of course, my dogs were around. They were helping me with quotes, especially Beethoven. And my rooster, I was trying to catch him, and I haven't learned how to bush hog yet. Apparently, Tom's not going to bush hog. So we've got like weeds and stuff that's like above our heads out here. So I'm trying to trace this rooster down toward the pond. Well, let's say north. I don't even sure there's a pond anymore. It's been leaking long enough that I don't think it holds water. Regardless, I was chasing this rooster for a while, and Beethoven was trying to help me. And so then I thought, well, I can't catch it with my hands. So I went and got the fish net, which in general, most of the time, those big fish nets, like if you're trying to catch a relatively like a 4 or 5 pound catfish or something, even 10 pounds, whatever, that size of a fish net works really good if you don't have weeds and stuff that are in the way all the time. So, but I did, I finally caught the rooster and got him to the processor, and we ate him just a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, there's always something going on, but I like my life. I like it this way. My next thing is income producing activity. This is like, it's called my IPA income. I'm okay. Anyway, income producing activity. I'm trying to figure out how to make some money for this next year. And my timing may be off on this for this next year, but you know, cause they've had some turkey shortages and all kinds of things, you know, they keep killing off these chickens. And I'm not even gonna go down that road. I'm just gonna let you know that I don't. Okay, basically, though, I'm considering doing the math and seeing how long it takes to, I think it's 20 weeks for a good sized turkey. And I would like to be able to do 2 different batches of turkeys about a month apart, where they get processed about a month apart. So like the week before Thanksgiving, have turkeys ready to go. And the week before Christmas, having the last batch of broad-breasted turkeys ready to go. But counting backward from them so I know when to order my turkeys, and putting out and taking orders for these turkeys and getting a deposit. And I'm hoping to do that, and however many deposits I can get, and I'll raise those turkeys and I will sell them during that appropriate time. So that's what I'm considering doing for the income producing activity, but that's like the basically just the planning stages and getting the word out for it and stuff too, for whomever would want a turkey. But basically, you know, honestly, they would be pasture raised, but you know, even at $5 a pound, we're talking about a 20 pound bird. I think it's like $75, something like that. No, it'd be more than that. It'd be $100. So they say people pay that much for them. I'm just not sure that I could get that here, but we'll have to see. Maybe if I figured out a way to advertise it in Tulsa or something, I don't know. But that's what I'm thinking about doing for my income producing activity. You know, I'd have to start making some money on this farm instead of just, I've been focusing for so long on just making sure that I have food for our family. It's time for me to start focusing on how to sell its things and make money for my family too. Okay. Creator of the day is Toolman Tim Cook. And he's got a podcast called Toolman Tim's Workshop. I tell you what, no joke, this man is everywhere. And I love this stuff. I get to work with him sometimes on the Fireside Freedom podcast. I've met him in person, excuse me. He's up in Canada, but he came down to Tennessee. And I got to meet him in person. Very helpful. In fact, he put me on a pretty good path to help me get myself going too. And so I like his work. He's everywhere. Oh my goodness. I was looking, I think he had posted something on a TikTok and how you can put like you're on Instagram and TikTok and Rumble and all that other stuff. He had a whole mess of things. He's everywhere, but he's worked his butt off too. And he also does, I think it's called Four Seasons, handyman services or something like that. So right now he's in the middle of snow cleaning up there where he is, but he does all kinds of stuff. His wife has he was able to get it where he can do his wife wanted to open up a daycare, And so, but mostly wherever he is, he's got some sort of social media presence everywhere, everywhere he is. And he's funny and smart and very helpful. And I really like his stuff. So his, like I said, his podcast is Tool Man Tim's Workshop. He does a lot with TikTok and Instagram. He probably, and I'm pretty sure he is. Yeah, he has a YouTube channel too, but I don't know if you do. I post on YouTube whenever I can, but I admit I'm not watching very much anymore. But check him out, Toolman Tim's Workshop, and I think you'll find that he's very helpful and can give you a lot of good tips. All right, where I can be found? Okay, I'm telling you right now, I'm still at Ellis Family Farms on my YouTube channel. Maybe even as near as tomorrow, I'm going to be Grandma's Homestead. So that's how close we are to that transition from Ellis Family Farms to Grandma's Homestead. So that'll be that's one channel on YouTube. Farm Animal Life, that's on YouTube. That's where I just stick a camera in with one of my animals and they do their own thing on their own time. And I post their videos occasionally. I'm on Instagram as Thecia Ellis. I'm on TikTok as at Thecia Ellis. Facebook, I am Thecia V. Dayhoff Ellis. MeWe, Thecia Ellis. Twitter at Thecia E. And I'm on Telegram, a couple other places too. I need to get those updated too. But yep, you can find me. There aren't very many Thecias in the world. And so I'm usually pretty easy to find. Only thing is, if you like Google Thecia, it comes up the CIA. And I'm not the CIA. But that's okay. You can find me. All right, guys. This has been my longest one yet, but I've enjoyed it. Guys, I'm telling you this at the end of my videos too, to live until you die. This is part of what getting up gets me up out of bed in the morning. I love the enthusiasm I have in my life. I love the life. I mean, I have bad days. I have things happen all the time, but I still love my life and I have determined that I'm going to live until I die. And that's what I want you guys to do too. So God bless. I'll see you next time.